Now then, yesterday morning, it's already been alluded to, a number of us men got together and had a session of man time under the banner of Refuel. It was very good. You get bacon, which I've heard was very good, and sausages and all that type of stuff, but also a good time just to spend some time together as guys, you know, thinking about things. And yesterday we were, a question was put to us. I think the question was, what am I? Or something like that. What am I? And of course, many of us would answer that with a statement about our employment status. You know, well, I am an engineer or a nurse, or I'm not, a housewife, retired, unemployed, whatever it may be. So much of what we and what others think about us sort of seems to hang on what we do for what we would call work. But what's the point? Well, this morning we've been put that question by our young people. For those of you who didn't know, the young people have come up with these every first Sunday series. They are looking this morning at what is the point of school, and we are going to consider what is the point of work. And before we look at that, if we can pop the thing up, that's fine. Just a little book plug. It's one that you may have heard before. It's from a guy called Mark Green, who is leads the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, which sort of supports professionals and people in employment and other things as well. And it's a book called Thank God It's Monday. So I've taken some of this morning from this book. It's very good. £6.99 from Amazon, or £1.96 for a second-hand copy, including postage from Amazon. Or you can borrow mine as long as I get it back. But that's a very good, you know, if you, what we say this morning, if it interests you and you want to think more deeply about it, then that is a very good book to have a look at. So, what is the point of work? Well, we better start off, hadn't we, by defining what we mean by work. So, as we normally do, I went to the dictionary and I liked this one because it sort of summed up, I think. I couldn't argue with it. So, for this morning, this is a definition of what we're going to take for work: to be engaged in physical or mental activity in order to achieve a result. I looked at that and I thought, yeah, that sort of makes sense, you know. Sort of, if I'm engaged in something, it doesn't have to be physical, but it can be. I can make something, but I can also use my mental activity in order to achieve a result. So for today, that's our definition. That's fine. But I guess as Christians, what we need to work out is, what do we mean by the result? What are we trying to achieve in this thing called work? Now, the book, Thank God It's Monday, suggests four things that a Christian could be looking for in work. The first one, and I guess it is the most obvious one, isn't it, that people sort of consider when they are looking for work, is to have the ability to provide for your needs and for the needs of your family. Just a biblical reference, Paul, who you will note spent a lot of time supporting when he was going around the different churches, he said that he supported himself and their team. They support themselves through work so they wouldn't be a burden. And Paul was writing to this guy called Timothy in a place called Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was a capital city. There was plenty of employment, so there was no excuse not to work. And I put that in the context because when I read this out, you may think, well, that's very strong. But the context is that there was work available for everybody. And Paul wrote to Timothy, if I can find the right book, there we go. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith, and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, that is very strong, isn't it? And that's why I wanted to put the context in there, which was, here was a society where work was available, and we're going to talk a bit later of what our response should be when we can't find work to help to support the needs of relatives and such like. But that is one of the purposes of work. You know, when Adam was given the instruction to tend the garden in Genesis chapter 2, I think it was maybe to make it beautiful, but actually it was probably to provide his needs so that he could get the food that he needed to sustain themselves. Okay? So that is one element of what work could be. But when we look at these 4 points, we need to look at them balanced as well. It's not all about that. It's definitely not all about that. And in some respects, you know, one or more of these things is okay. So the second one, to have the ability to support those in need. Now that could take various forms. So the actual work that you do, the thing that you may be employed to do, or the activities that you undertake, may be directly involved with those in need. You know, maybe, you know, you work in the medical profession, or you work in special schools, or whatever it may be. But also, there's the ability to provide for those in need if you have some excess. But, you know, Jesus said, didn't he? He gave a very strong warning in Matthew chapter 25 when he spoke about, you know, I was thirsty and did you give me a drink? I was hungry and did you feed me? I was naked and did you clothe me? I was in prison. Did you come and visit me? You know, Jesus expects in our things that we do that we will support those in need. Another element of work that we can think of is to serve others and improve community life. And again, that can feel very practical. So, you know, maybe your employment job that you do, you don't really feel, you get some money for it, but you don't really feel the rest of it is there. But, you know, maybe one thing you do in your non-employment zone is you support work in the community. You help out at, I don't know, the pod or, you know, community cafes or other community activities that go on, not necessarily within the church. So it is not, what I'm talking about this morning is not all about paid employment, okay? It is about what we put our energies towards. But even those in paid employment should be looking to serve others and improve community life. I mean, I was this week in Poland. We have a couple of factories in Poland. And I was reflecting as I left the factory. And I was reminded that, you know, 12 years ago I went there for the first time. And it was a factory which was just about to close, really, because we didn't have any work for it. You know, I don't know how many people worked there, maybe 100 or something. And really, it was on the way out. But we decided we would build it up, put some business in there, invest in it. And now it was a very big factory, very big turnover. It's probably got about 700 people. And I'd like to think in some ways, and maybe that wasn't the motivation when we set it all up, but in some ways we are supporting the community that that is in, and the way that we treat our employees and everything else should be to build up the community and their community life. So it isn't just about the community here, it can be a broader aspect as well. And finally, to develop our skills and gifts so we can use our God-given abilities to the full. You know, it shouldn't always be about doing things and being active. Sometimes you need to reflect. Sometimes you need to say, Lord, you've given me a gift to do something. I need to develop that gift so I can use it more. So in order to answer the question, what is the point of work? I guess it's sort of up there, to be able to provide for the needs of your family, to be able to support those in need, to be able to serve the community and serve others, and to be able to develop yourself so that you can use your God-given abilities to the full. And I think, importantly for us, it is about balance. Okay. Now, I was in Sevenoaks just before Christmas. Sevenoaks is a very affluent town just south of London, where a lot of the city commuters live, you know, bankers and stockbrokers and such like. And I had a bit of time, so I was wandering through the high street, and I looked in the estate agent windows, and there were houses for rent there for £7,500 per calendar month. These were mansions, okay? These were not little flats, these were big houses. And, you know, I don't want to judge people's motives, but, you know, in our society today, there is a lot of people whose only motivation in life would be to take the number one up there, to provide for the needs, well, we'll cross out the word need, and to basically say to get as much as I can for yourself, and then we probably cross out the rest of it as well, and that would be it. Now, if that is the balance of what you see work is about, then that is not a biblical balance of where we should be. At the other end of the extreme, you know, perennial students who get to 35 and they're still going through their fourth degree and fifth master's and, you know, still trying to work out where to go, you know, maybe they're spending too much time developing their gifts and skills and not actually getting on and doing things. So I think in all of this, it is good to see the balance. And I guess the people that can get a balance and feel they've got a balance, whether it be in paid employment or in all the activities that they do around all of these aspects, you know, I'd hope that's where you get job satisfaction from. I don't know. So, we've answered the question. Can we go home now? Oh, we've got time. You said we had time, didn't you? Well, let's go on a bit further. I want us just to consider, I know that we are not all in paid employment here, so therefore I said right at the start, this is not about that. And it's about getting the balance. So I would never like to hear anybody say, oh, I am just a housewife, or I cannot find work, so I'm volunteering until I get a job. You know, to put yourself down like that is not the way to do things, because you can serve the community, you can support those in need, you can develop your gifts and get a real good balance in all of those areas, even if you're not necessarily in paid employment. And a housewife, my goodness me, I mean, providing for the needs of yourself and your family, well, you get a tick in that box. To support those in need, well, you get a big tick in that box. To serve others and improve the life of the community, well, I think that happens with a lot of housewives, and to develop your gifts so that you can use to the full. And yes, I hope so. I hope that that's what happens. So please, you know, never ever say, I am just a, because that is almost not seeing what God wants from us. He wants us to serve him with all of our hearts. And for those of you who have reached or are getting close to reaching retirement age, I thought it was important to consider that. So I went away and did a little bit of thinking, Lord, what do you want me to say about those who have retired and at least retired from paid employment? And I came across a little interview with a guy called Rick Warren. Rick Warren is the guy who's wrote a book called Purpose Driven Life. He leads one of the very big churches in America. And he was talking about how when he's, I think, 65, he is going to stop leading the church and move on to do other things, because he feels that would be important for, you know, the next generation to take over. But it says that his views on retirement fly in the face of the traditional thinking. The word retirement is not even in the Bible, he said, so it's not a biblical concept. What is taught in Scripture is a transition. You may change jobs, you may change vocations, and you may volunteer for free. But there is nothing that says you work most of your life and then get to be selfish for the next 20 years. Providing a biblical perspective on what retirement should resemble, Warren adds, the Bible says that as long as your heart is beating, God has a plan and purpose for your life, to grow personally, to get to know God, to serve others, and to make the world a better place. So we have an economic model in this country which sort of says when you get to 65, 67, 70, whenever it's going to be when we reach there, that, you know, you can stop paid employment. But actually, those things he said at the end, to grow personally, to get to know God, to serve others, and to make the world a better place, it sort of ticks quite a few of those boxes up there, doesn't it? So, you know, I struggle to see, yes, you may stop being paid for your employment, but to sort of say, I am retired and I am just going to, like the rich fool said, you know, I've got a lot, I am now going to got everything that I've stored, and I am going to eat, drink, and be merry. That, I don't think, is the attitude that we should be having, because it is not a biblical attitude to have. Now, yes, things change. We slow down. We can't run around at a million miles an hour, you know, but whether it be helping looking after the grandchildren, helping doing a number of different things, serving the church in different ways, you know, so many different things that you can get involved in. You know, as long as we have breath, we will serve the Lord. So, why bother? You know, we have to find what work is, and in some ways the purpose. But, you know, I mean, Jeff came in this morning, didn't he? You know, why bother? You know, I've done it, I'm getting so tired, so frustrated with this. You know, the people I work with don't understand me. You know, why should I bother with work? Well, Lynn has already answered the question. The first five words in the Bible: in the beginning, God created. What did God do? He worked. And he stepped back from his work after the first phase and he said, that is good. That is good. That is good. That is very good. God was working, and what God did was good. Then he set Adam to work in the garden, as I've already mentioned. That was before the fall. People often have the misconception that work came about after the fall, after Adam and Eve sort of ate of the fruit and everything else. That is not true. Chapter 2, verse 15 says that God set Adam to work in the garden. Yes, after the fall, it has become more toilsome. It has become harder. But, you know, why do people find it tough when they're not working? It is because we are created to work. That's how God has made us in his image, to work, to get that balance, to serve others, etc. We were created to work. I mean, Jesus was probably a carpenter for about 15 years before he changed his vocation for the last 3 years of his life. Paul, as I've said, didn't want to be a burden. And all the way through the Bible, we see God's people working very hard. You know, I'm guessing when the young people raised this question, they would have said, what's the point of school? They raised it, not because they really wanted to know what the point of school was, but because they found it hard or didn't enjoy it or whatever. Now, I don't know if you've ever said it or thought about it. I'd love to say I haven't said it, but that would be telling a lie. Have you ever said to someone, you've got the wrong attitude? You know, you've got the wrong attitude about school. You know, school is about this, that, and the other. You've got it all wrong. Well, to close, I'd like us to spend a few minutes thinking about our attitude to work. What is he looking for? There we go. So, for our attitude to work, first of all, we should be committed to work. If you got your daily prayer point this morning on your email, or if you got it from the notice sheet from last week, you would have seen Colossians 3, verse 23 was referred to. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not men. So when we work, we should be committed to it. Now, whether that be in our jobs, or whether that be in some community activities that we're doing, whatever we are doing, whether it be, you know, this looking after the children, whatever it may be, we should be committed to it and do it as working for the Lord. You know, we should see Christians doing well in work because they are committed. You know, they are not sitting there moaning and groaning and getting frustrated with things. They are committed to what they're doing. And therefore, yes, Christians will get promoted at work. Now, there are other elements, if you like, that sometimes you hold yourself back from that. But generally speaking, the Bible calls us to be committed to what to do, to whatever we do. We've already heard we should be grateful for our work. You know, if your needs are met, then praise God. We have the parable of the workers in Matthew 20, where the landowner comes and wants some people to work in the vineyard, and he comes at the beginning of the day and he says, you'll have one denarius for doing this. And they say, thank you very much, and they start working. And at the third hour of a 12-hour shift, I guess, he needed some more, so he went to get some more. And at the ninth hour, he got some more. And at the 11th hour, 1 hour before the end of the shift, he got somebody else, and he got some more people. And at the end, he paid them. And he started with the guys that came, just worked for an hour, and gave them one denarius. And I'm sure the guys who had been working all day went, oof. And then he did the same for the guys who had worked for 3 hours, and then for 6 hours, and then for 9 hours. And the grumbling that he got from the guys that had worked all day, because it wasn't fair. Well, we're taught by Jesus that isn't the right attitude. You know, I have once done it, and for that I felt ashamed and wish I hadn't. I've only once gone and sort of questioned whether I had the right amount of pay. And I wish I hadn't, because that's like an ethos of mine that I shouldn't. And the people that come to me who have worked for me and basically spend the time negotiating, wanting more, you know, the whole time, it is just, it's tiresome. And I think it is biblically wrong. You know, if we are provided for, then we should be grateful. I'm not talking about exploitation, you know, as there's a whole different section for employers and bosses and everything else. But if your needs are being met, then your heart should be one of gratitude for what you have got. Another element to think about work is that we should rest. So, and I probably need to take a big mirror when I think about this as well. God rested on the seventh day. He tells us to rest. Yes, he told us to rest so that we can spend time worshipping him, but he also told us to rest because he knows how he has made us, that we need rest. We need to switch off from what we do on a day-to-day basis. And it's not just about the 9-to-5 job that we have to switch off from. It's from other things that we do on a day-to-day basis that we need to rest from. You know, so if you are the housewife, yes, you do need a rest. You need somebody else to give you a break sometimes from it. I know that's hard. You need to take holidays. You need to, where's that mirror? Switch off your telephone and things like that when you are having a holiday. You need to take a break. That is how we are made. Our bodies need to be rejuvenated. And finally, and maybe most importantly, we've been going through a series over the last few weeks, Start to Spread the Good News. And we should, in our lives, be looking for those people that we can build relationships with, because that's the people that God has given us. The LICC talk about an orange and a pear, and so many Christians look at their lives like an orange, full of little segments. And there's a little segment which is church, segments which is work, segments which is family, segments which is hobbies, whatever it is, and they split them all up and keep them very separate. Whereas they like to think life more as a pear, which, as you know, is sort of more together. There is no separation there. And you know, we shouldn't be seeing our lives, as our Christian lives, as today it's church, tomorrow it's work. We are a new creation. All that we do should be to live for the Lord. Now, these people here are my work colleagues. Most of them are the plant managers of the factories that we have around Europe. And this was taken in the summer, but on this week I was with them when I was in Poland. And we were having dinner together, and it was quite interesting that we don't normally do this, but somebody said, well, let's do a couple of, you know, round the table games. So we had, one of the things we did was, who would you most like to meet, dead or alive? And we started off, we had the usual supermodels and, you know, things that you'd expect from a bunch of blokes getting together. But When it got to me, I thought, well, here's a chance to say something slightly different. So I said, I'd like to meet Nehemiah. He is a biblical character. He's my hero. I have a program management background. He is a fantastic role model for program management. And I sort of left it at that because I didn't want to start preaching at them. And we went around the table, and Fabiano, who's not in that picture, a couple of doors down from me, said, I'd like to meet the Pope, the new Pope, because I want to find out if he really is different from the other ones. Very interesting. We went round to, he was an Italian, so maybe that sort of links in there. And we went round to Andrea, who is the tall guy sitting next to the guy in the wheelchair. And he said, well, I would have said the Pope, but for me it's Gandhi. And then we got to Pablo, who's the guy right on the end, on the right. And he said, I'd like to meet Jesus Christ, because if half of what he said was true, then he'd be a really interesting person to meet. And then Bruno, who's the guy in the wheelchair, full of energy and life, fell out of the sky from a paraglider about 15 years ago and has been paralyzed ever since. But I've known Bruno for the last 12 years or so. And about 7 years, I asked him to be a plant manager in a very, very difficult situation. And I'd completely forgotten about it. But I'd written him a handwritten letter, and gave it to him to sort of thank him for taking on the challenge and, you know, encourage him, whatever. And I was talking to him on Wednesday, and he said, James, I still remember that letter that you wrote me. I can't. It shows that you're a man of integrity, which I thought that was very nice. And he said to me, I wrote my son a letter last week, and I started it off by saying, let's talk about God. I thought, ooh. And it sort of really reminded me that, you know, we do try and put things into different segments, don't we? And we are all spiritual beings, everybody, even if they don't know it. And there is a real interest with people we come across in things that are spiritual. So we should live our lives in a way that they can see the difference, but also ready to talk to them as well. So, just as we close, I'd just like us to... Oh, no, I was going to say one other thing. Sorry, very briefly. I've got a minute. Employers and bosses, okay? Just very, very quickly. If you're a boss or an employer, I just encourage you maybe to stick the fruits of the Spirit on your wall or by your computer screen or whatever and think, do I love my employees? It sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? Do I love my employees? But, you know, if we can have that feeling for who we work with, then I think we're getting, you know, we will start to get the respect and start to get people to realize that we are different because of the way that we treat them. Do we love the people that work for us? And finally, there are seasons in our lives. And, you know, some people find it hard to get work. Some people find it hard even when they've got work to make ends meet and to have enough there. And, you know, over the last few years as a church, we've been spending a lot of time finding ourselves in the book of Acts. And Acts 4 particularly talks, in fact, I'd just like to read a few verses from Acts 4, talks about what our attitude should be. So this is to the early church. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There was no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. And, you know, as a church, we must support those who are struggling, whether it be in very practical ways, food banks and whatever else, or support them in maybe finding something that they can get involved in that will give them, you know, some of these elements that are on the screen behind. And just support people in prayer. You know, I was The other day, I was here one morning, and I heard her talking to another lady about the food bank. And this other lady was saying, well, they have a similar type of concept at a church or a charity that she's involved in. And when you need something, you can take it out of the food bank. But when you have a little bit more than you need, you put something in. And that sort of was a really good vision for me, a really good picture of what our lives should be like. We should be supporting each other. You know, there are times when, you know, the first element is people are finding it difficult. And we've got to, as Christians, support that as well. So there we have it. I hope we've answered the question. For those of you who have got young people in junior church, you can have a conversation with them about what's the point of school, and you can have a conversation about this as well. And Dolph's just got a business call coming in there. let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have created us in your image. Lord, we thank you that you are the Creator God, as we've already been thinking about this morning. And Lord, you have built in us that inherent need to find a purpose in our lives and to find work. Lord, we thank you that as a Christian, we don't have to just think about that as what we get to earn money with on a weekday basis or whatever, Lord, but our whole lives are there to serve you and to work for you, to work for those in need, to work for the community, to better ourselves, and yes, Lord, to provide for our needs and for the needs of our family. Lord, we prayed this morning, give us our daily bread. Lord, help us to not be tempted into greed and to pride and other things that can so often come with employment. For Lord, help us to humbly become before you and be willing to serve you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.